sorry, what is your name, sir?
Benjamin Hampton Bailey.
Okay, let's see. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Willie Kalwanis will conduct your hearing, sir, so just hold on. It's all into the form, sir. No, this is...
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, sir, we can. Can you hear us? Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir, I just heard my volume very good.
Okay, thank you. Right, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Benjamin Hampton Bailey, and my ADC number is 183176.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your two alleged violations. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on June 29, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Seeing no more with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, I'll begin with me because I'm sitting closest to you. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Then we have the Honorable Ms. Dale Rittenhouse, and at the opposite side of the bench, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also in the room, we have the Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Turner, who will be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officers. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, do you solemnly swear to tell, Mr. McGargy and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir. I do.
Thank you. Mr. McGargy, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false, or you wish to remain silent. The reason why we give you the option to plead the fifth on these allegations is because according to the warrant of arrest, you seem to have a department report number suggesting that there may be a pending charge outside of the Department of Corrections. Is that correct, sir?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, because it would seem there's a pending charge, when I read the allegations to you, again, you would have the choice of stating whether it is true, false, or you wish to remain silent. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal erosion company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your failure to provide saliva sample on or about May 21st, 2018. Mr. McGargy, is this true or false? Or do you wish to remain silent?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. In allegation number two, violation of condition number five is demonstrated by your possession of one plastic baggie containing crystal-like substance believed to be methamphetamine on or about May 18, 2018 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. McGargy, is this true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
False.
Thank you, sir. Based on your submission of false, we're going to take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we'll come back to you for a few questions, okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Turner.
Allegation number two. On 5/18/2018, at approximately 2300 hours, the offender was seen by a group home staff member in front of his approved residence. The offender was not allowed to be alone in front of the house. The staff member was arriving to work and visually observed something fall out of the offender's pants pocket. Clear bag containing what was believed to be methamphetamine was Department Cabinet at the group home. The offender admitted to staff, he arranged for drugs to be delivered to the house, and he shared them with other residents in the house. Follow-up number two, on 5/21/2018, CCO Hyback called the group home and learned about the incident that happened on 5/18/2018. The manager told CCO Hyback that they are keeping what they believe were drugs locked up in their medicine cabinet and will be giving them to CCO Hyback. CCO Hyback and CO2 Walkie went to the group home located at 4349 North 161st Avenue, Goodyear, Arizona, 85395, on 5/18/2018, and called Goodyear PD to respond. Officer Pacello, number 1231, responded and stated he came to the same residence on 5/19/2018 in regards to the offender, who was later transported to CDI for detox. Once at the residence, the manager opened the cabinet and gave the bag containing crystal-like substance to Officer Pacello. The officer stated that the offender would be charged for possession of dangerous drugs. The offender was then arrested and transported to ASPC Phoenix.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. McGarvey. What is false about that allegation?
By ADC staff in the field with the assistance of Goodyear PD. There was no charges filed at that time. He was returned back to ADC custody on 5/21/2018 with a CSED of 9/4/2018, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2009, aggravated assault, 4 years. Prior convictions, 2003, commitment A, unlawful use means of transportation, 1 year, 6 months. 2005, commitment B, resisting arrest, 1 year. 2003, commitment C, count one, flight from law vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. 2003, commitment C, count two, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2006, commitment D, aggravated assault, 2 years, 6 months. 2009, commitment E, murder in third degree, 4 years, 6 months. 2013, commitment F, count one, robbery, 3 years, 6 months. 2013, commitment F, count two, disorderly conduct, 3 years, 6 months. 2013, commitment F, count three, disorderly conduct, 3 years, 6 months. This is his fifth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 4.4. His mental health score of 3 and a substance abuse score of 3. No STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2004, CIS release absconding for 78 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2006, CIS release absconding for 47 days, arrested, reached CCD in custody. 2008, CIS release absconding 20 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. 2013, CIS release absconding for 9 days, arrested, revoked by BOEC. Disciplinary significant with theft, fighting, gambling, drugs, and harassment noted. Other arrests, 1995, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1995, marijuana violation, Arizona juvenile probation. 1995, criminal trespassing, first degree, Arizona unknown to outcome. 1997, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile detention. 2009, aggravated assault, Arizona felony conviction probation. He has a GD score of G6-B7. Status of charges, as of yesterday, they know Goodyear PD notified the parole officer that charges have been filed for dangerous drug, possession of dangerous drugs. Sorry, couldn't get that.
Happens to me all the time. Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. McGarvey, we're going to continue with phase two. I am going to make a brief review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections directly to CBI. After your assessment was completed, you were transferred to Desert Vista and Mesa. You were discharged from Desert Vista in March of 2018 and accepted at V-Ray. You left V-Ray on March 28, 2018 after calling the police stating that someone was there to kill you. You were transported to CBI and stayed there for approximately a week and then transported to St. Luke's Hospital. You were discharged from St. Luke's Behavioral Health on April 12, 2018 and proved to reside at a group home through Simpatico in Goodyear, Arizona. On May 2, 2018, you had another episode and the crisis team transported you to UPC. You were discharged from UPC on May 9, 2018, went back to the group home. You were placed in a different house located at 4349 North 161st Avenue in Goodyear, Arizona. So, so was that last address where you were living before you were violated?
Yes, sir.
We have no employment notes. Were you working at all, sir?
No.
Okay. For your programming notes, you weren't enrolled in any programming, although I recognize after what we just reviewed from residents that there was some movement around to different treatment centers. Sanctions notes, on May 18, 2018, you called your assigned CCO and said you relapsed on methamphetamine. You were reprimanded and directed to, it says seize, but I think you meant cease all drug use. Community Corrections Officer Pivac planned on visiting you on May 21, 2018 to collect a saliva sample. On May 21, 2018, Community Corrections Officer learned that you had used drugs again on May 19, 2018, which made you highly paranoid. You're making calls to FBI from your cell phone. The police responded to your home and transported you to CBI. You were discharged from CBI on May 12, 2018. CCO Pivac attempted to collect saliva samples from you on May 21st. However, you refused. And I believe that's all of our case supervision summary. So, if you can take a deep breath, I know you were trying to explain to me what was happening at the at your last residence. So, what would you like to share with the board, sir?
Well, the question you got to think is I'm being charged with another charge, so that even matters. So, here doesn't even matter, am I right?
No, the charge. That's a separate charge. So, we have no idea what will transpire in the community justice system on a separate case. We're here to determine whether or not you should be returned to community supervision or whether or not your supervision should be revoked. So that's a separate case.
Can you even return to supervision considering this such a case?
Well, sir, I can't speak to the other part of the criminal justice system. We can return you to community supervision. You would be pending a criminal charge in Maricopa County. We don't know when that date would be. We don't know if those charges would stand. So you would be returned to community supervision if we voted on that. You would have a parole officer, and then you'd be pending that charge. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. If you sign on to the whole thing, don't you all agree that it's kind of funny and fishy that those don't have my pocket, they find it on the ground, and they don't need to call the police to hold on to it? Isn't this something that, if you really tie logic to it, there's something weird about that? I mean, that's just what I believe. Why would they need to call the police as soon as they that? They suppose they saw drugs out of my pocket. But they sometimes they should apply logic to that. Is there anybody that can apply logic and think about that? There's something fishy there. And the thing is, I called the police and accused those people at the halfway house of trying to get workers at the halfway house to kill me, because I'm not making this up. Do you think, honestly, apply logic to this also? Do you think I'm gonna come here with a lie by telling you that I have a $250,000 hit on my head and expect you to, don't you think I'm coming to the more intelligent lie to try to get you guys to believe instead of something like that? Don't you think if I'm coming to tell you guys I have $250,000 hit on my head and everywhere I go think they're trying to kill me, except for right here in Clarks? Right here in Clarks, do you, I'm in SMU, I'm I have $250,000 hit on my head, I'm hiring out in mental health programs, even on the street. I was hiring out in mental health programs because I have $250,000 I hit on my head, and everywhere I go, Cleveland staff at the halfway house, we're attempting to figure out a way to try to reflect my notes on my head. Now, as soon as I call Jimmy Fun and I accuse them of trying to kill me, all of a sudden, right after that happens, it's a heck of a coincidence, they see some notes out of my pocket on the ground and they hold on to it for 2 hours. And that's just the whole point I want to make to you guys. Like I said, if you apologize, do you really think that I'm coming here and try to, if I'm not telling the truth, do you think I'm trying to get you to believe that lie? Don't you know what happened to the man? I don't believe in the lies. It wasn't the truth. Think about that. I mean, how logic to that? And thank you guys for the consideration and your time to us.
Well, thank you for providing such a detailed statement. Now, keep in mind, as the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, we all vote individually. We all have our own separate opinion, so I'm not going to speak on behalf of the board. I can't speak on behalf of them because we vote individually. But I will say that I do appreciate you providing such a detailed statement. I'm going to ask you one question, and I'm going to ask it limited, but you stated several times that there was a $250,000 hit on your head, as you put it.
Yes, sir.
Who is trying to hurt you, sir?
My brother, he supposedly shot his girlfriend 9 times, shot himself in the head in 2007. There was a Mexican girl, the girl that he was suicide. The Mexican girl had 2 last minutes to our Cruz and Chavez. Huge Mexican families. Now that huge Mexican families, huge Mexican families, Cruz and Chavez, what? Revenge to what my brother did, and now the church of $50,000 hit on my head and are trying to have me killed, it was actually a nightmare. Nobody, I'm telling the truth, and nobody everywhere I go except for right here in Florence. People try to kill him, people try to rob me to kill me, including those halfway house with the Goodyear police. The Goodyear police, police officers are trying to kill him, correction officers, and what about that? The correction officers are getting right here in Florence to kill inmates that have hits on their heads. And that's a fact. I'm not making that up. I mean, I'm telling you, the only person I've run that did not try to kill me.
Okay, sir. Well, I'll bring that to a close by saying I'm glad that you're safe right now. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Have any questions from fellow board members? Mr. McGarvey, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into the discussion? I only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already shared with us, and you've shared quite a bit, but is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know?
No, like I said, I just would like to just say one more time, like I said, apologize to the whole thing. If I was really trying to lie to you guys, do you really believe that's a lie and come up with? I mean, like I said, you guys have brains, you guys are intelligent people, an intelligent person would be able to see easily, but there's something fishy with the whole situation, so apologize to all of it.
Okay, Mr. McGarvey.
did ask you not to repeat anything that you've already told us, but I do appreciate that you're passionate about this. So the board is going into discussion now. It's going to sound like we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes as a panel, as the board? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. For the board members, I think that if you consider the two violations that led to Mr. McGarvey being violated, he admitted that he failed to provide a saliva sample on May 21st, 2018, and I don't want to cross myself up with Mr. McGarvey. I don't know exactly what happened at the last residence he was living in. I will say that those charges are still pending in Maricopa County, and based on the follow-up through the case supervision summary, there is an indication that he did relapse on methamphetamine. So I am not seeing Mr. McGarvey a very suitable candidate for community supervision. I will say that I'm glad to hear that he's safe right now, and that's where I'll begin the discussion.
I agree.
Okay, therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1502, our discussion with Mr. McGarvey, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision, because Mr. McGarvey was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or is about to lapse in a criminal raiser company, inasmuch that he did not provide a saliva sample to his community corrections officer. And at least based on the community, pardon me, the case supervision summary, he relapsed into methamphetamine use, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, reprimanded by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. McGarvey, your supervision has been revoked. The good news is that you'll be released on or about September 4th, 2018, which is less than 2 months away. So we encourage you to take advantage of these last weeks to put together a plan for your return to the community. Seek any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections, especially as you are safe right now. If you are dealing with any SMI issues, I bring that up to your CO3 and seek any treatment that's available to you. We do wish you a safe and productive return to the community in September. This hearing is concluded. Go through the discussion may take place, and Mr. McGarvey would appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.